Welcome to Leading the Next Generation with Tim Elmore. I'm your co-host, Andrew McPeak, and our mission here at Growing Leaders is to empower the emerging generations with skills to lead in real life. Tim, today we've got an important conversation about building a culture of ownership on campus, which is easier said than done.
Yeah, it is. In fact, it's something every administrator wants.
Yes.
In fact, they might even write it out at the beginning of the school year, but somehow it just feels like there's one leader. Everybody else is somewhere in the middle of the flowchart.
Yeah, tell me
victim.
What to do.
Yeah, that's right. And they're, I use the word victim. Maybe that's too strong, but they feel like they're just a cog in the wheel.
Yeah.
And you tell me what needs to be done. And this ownership thing isn't really happening. And sometimes, especially the students, they're consumers.
Yeah.
You're a vendor, and I deserve a good grade because we paid taxes or we pay full tuition here. So I think what we got to do as leaders is learn, how do you build ownership, a sense of ownership in every single human being that's in the building?
And that's important to remember. A lot of times when we talk about this, we're talking about the teachers.
Yeah.
Well, you're actually talking about the teachers and the students and the parents and everybody.
That's exactly
right. Has a sense of ownership.
Yeah. So one great example of this, it's one of my favorite principal stories of this last school year. His name is Akbar Cook. He's at Westside High School in New Jersey. He's been on television. He's an extraordinary man, although he would not say so. He seems like he's just an ordinary guy that's greeting the kids when they come into school every day. But he's a high school principal who had a big problem. He was noticing that his school is full of cliques. Very few people had any sense of ownership, like we're talking about here. And the teachers did their work in silos. There was an attitude of distrust that prevailed on the campus between students, staff, and faculty. And further, it was a really low-income area.
Additional challenges.
Free and reduced lunches. And he said, get this, 85% of the student body was chronically missing school.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's just ridiculous.
That's a problem if I've ever heard one.
Yeah. So he knew his work was cut out for him. So he did some digging, and he discovered the reason why so many students were missing school was because they were being bullied.
Oh.
Well, that's a big issue. The bullying problem has been a huge issue recently.
Yeah.
But then when he dug further, he realized they were being bullied because they smelled. I mean, quite frankly, they were not washing their clothes. They probably had a missing or absent mom or dad.
Yeah.
Maybe no washing machine.
Maybe they didn't know how to wash their clothes.
That's
either.
Right. Yeah. So they were wearing the same clothes unwashed day after day, week after week. And you can imagine the stench was pretty bad. So they were getting bullied by classmates.
Too embarrassed to come to school.
So he thought, I'm going to solve this problem. Rather than just preaching ownership, you know, what good is that lecture going to do? He decided he would re-navigate the very building he was in. And he set up a laundry room, and he raised money for washing machines, laundry detergent, fabric softener, you name it. He had it all down there. In fact, you can see photos if you go online of the shelves of laundry detergent, Tide, and others.
Wow.
And he was getting a triple win. Number one, win one, they were coming back to school because they had someplace to go just before school started to wash and dry their clothes. So he's teaching a life skill in addition to that. And further, he's raising money. So all three things began to come together and be a real plus for ownership. Well, you can imagine this just rallied the troops. And now they were working as one, really, for this big goal of making sure that this was essentially a life skill training center. Mm. It's what it became.
Yeah.
So yeah, reading, writing, arithmetic are important, but it became a place to build skills. So that was just one way to approach it because he saw a problem and he met the problem. With teaching skills.
That's incredible. That's incredible. I think there are all kinds of principals and leaders of schools all over the country who want to create this kind of thing, and maybe their problems aren't the exact problems that Mr. Cook had, but maybe there are other kinds of problems. You believe, and you've taught me, that there are principles for how to create this, things that you can have in mind to help lead you and guide you as you're trying to create this culture
That's
on
right.
campus.
So you might say these are principles for principals.
Hey, all right.
I'm just saying.
All right. Okay. So you've got five of these. Let's walk through them and let's talk about them.
Do you love my comedy? You know, I could be a comedian. be a comedian. Yes.
Well, you're comedy enough for me.
Yeah,
so
okay.
That's good. Maybe people would pay for that. I don't know.
Well, something I failed to mention, but I think this sets up our five really well. I think it's important for leaders to see a disadvantage as a potential advantage.
Yes.
This bullying problem would seem like a disadvantage to anybody, but when he found out why and he solved that problem, using the students to solve the problem, it was a win.
Yes.
So the very thing that might have thrust him on his back launched him forward.
Because he used that laundry room opportunity as a life lesson opportunity to teach his students, you can own the problems in front of you, which they're applying in math class as much as they are in laundry room day.
That's right. Absolutely. So here are five ingredients that I see principals are practicing that really work. Number one, autonomy in each of the roles.
Oh, yeah.
Autonomy in each of the roles. So ownership doesn't really happen unless you offer autonomy to people, independence, where the principal is the CEO of her school and the teacher is the CEO of the classroom. I mean, you know, you need to let them do their deal. And if you hire the right person, you should be able to trust that person. So I think this is an important principle. We've all heard that phrase before, but this is huge when you actually practice it. That means administrators need to manage by objective, not my micromanaging.
Yes.
Here's five things. I'm going to watch you do all five. And don't forget, there's five. It's saying, here's the objective. You get to it however you want to, but I need you to reach this objective. Boy, doesn't that feel... In fact, when you've been under somebody and they let you to do it your way, it's crazy.
It feels great. Yeah. You're ready to walk into work because you know I get to do this. It succeeds or fails based on me. And when it succeeds, I get to be the one to stand in front and say, look what I did.
That's right. And so that's ownership. So one principal had an interesting, he believed this way, but he never quite practiced it this school year. But he had some of his seniors, high school seniors, come to him and say, we'd like to decorate our caps at graduation. Well, it scared him to death because he thought, who knows what they're going to put on those caps.
Yeah.
In fact, I think I kind of know what they might put on those caps. But instead, he said, all right, students, I'm going to trust you. And he did. And he let them have autonomy of really how this graduates. Well, knowing that they had ownership and they were trusted made them go, you know what? We won't do some of those stupid ideas after all because I want this trust to be earned.
Yeah, we don't want to lose the opportunity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it went magnificent. In fact, they did decorate, but it was wonderful. It was hilarious. It was good. It was a plus, not a minus. And he would say, I actually grew in my leadership when I passed on ownership to the seniors in this school. So autonomy in the role is number one.
Love it.
Number two. Trust when in conflict. So nothing builds ownership more than when there's some problems. And trust me, every year there will be problems.
Absolutely.
And you say, all right, I'm choosing to trust in the midst of this conflict. The time I'm most apt to withdraw some trust and go, let me just seize control here. You're going, nope, I think you can see your way through this. So distrust among staff and faculty actually obstruct ownership. That makes me go, okay, silo time. You get in your silo, I'll get in mine. But when you really trust, it means, oh my gosh, they're seeing the big picture. They want to own it. So school administrators, I believe, create a safe place for both teachers and kids to make mistakes and recover. Show them, I think you need to show them that you trust them by allowing them to try out new ideas. And by the way, if they betray that trust, and once in a while that might happen, I think you need to show extreme shock because you so believed.
Yeah.
I'm shocked that you wouldn't have done this. And I don't mean make it a show, but they need to know you actually did trust me.
When I said that you owned it, I meant it.
Yeah, and I fully thought you were going to do that. I'm a little amazed and surprised. So we've taught this for years. All good leadership operates on the basis of trust. You've got to do it. Number three, the third, I think, pillar of this building a culture of ownership is constant storytelling and communication. Now, you all know, if you know me at all, you know I'm a fan of good communication. I think a spirit of ownership prevails when school leaders are constantly communicating within the campus community as well as the larger community of moms and dads and aunts and uncles that live around the store owners, all the vendors that live in the community. So alignment, and that's what you really want here, requires school leaders to share the same message from administrators to teacher leaders, department heads, student influencers. If you don't do this, I think what we tend to do as humans is every man for himself.
Yes.
We've been guilty of this at Growing Leaders. Where we go, I just got to hold on to what I'm supposed to do and, you know, whatever. You can help me do my thing. So I think deep down, people actually really want to be a part of something bigger than themselves that requires I collaborate with others. And I think if I have a leader that's constantly telling stories, this is going to happen much more readily. I think we need to have a strong presence on social media. In fact, I love Will Parker, one of our colleagues and comrades, one of our speakers. Will is so good with social media. As a school principal and now working for the state of Oklahoma, he does so many things well on social media, posting stories and telling stories. And of course, everybody loves when you tell their story, so they repost. You know, I'm a star in this story. So here's the principle to remember on this one. What gets rewarded gets repeated. Mm. What gets rewarded gets repeated.
Love it.
All right. Number four, work toward alignment on mission and culture. Now, these are two different things. Mission and culture are cousins, but they're not twins.
Yes.
Alignment is a must. And Abraham Lincoln, I think it was, that said, a house divided against itself cannot stand.
Yes.
It's just true. So you're working against campus division, and you're working for ownership when alignment just happens between all the influential people. So this means I'm communicating the mission in creative ways, constant ways, and clear ways. Okay, those are three C's that are very important.
Creative.
I'm very clear with this. I'm very creative, so you hear it not just one way all the time, and I'm very consistent.
Yeah.
I do it day in and day out, week in and week out, all through the semester, all through the school year. So I think my goal as a leader ought to be to create within the constituency, and by the way, this means administrators, staff, faculty, and students. I'm trying to create three atmospheres here. Number one, a sense of destiny. Mm. Number two, a sense of family. And number three, a militant spirit. Now, let me explain that.
Yeah.
A sense of destiny is, I feel like this is our calling this year. This is what this year is supposed to accomplish. I think this school mascot or this school mission or this particular year is about this. And you, as a leader, you really communicate a sense of, this is probably too much, but almost a divine sense of this is what we must do.
Yeah, yeah.
I think great leaders.
It's a calling almost.
Yeah, that's right. And I think even our presidents during troubled times, FDR, JFK, President Lincoln during troubled times, this is our destiny, okay? So that's it. Sense of family. We all know what this means. Mm-hmm. This means we're in this thing together, and even though I may not like my brother or my sister, they're my brother or my sister.
Yes.
So we're in this school. I think Julie Diaz did a great job at this at Travis High School in Houston, in the Houston area, where there's just a sense of family, and there's camaraderie between principal and students there. So sense of destiny, sense of family, and then militant spirit. Now, this probably sounds horrific in light of the school shootings we've had. I don't mean this. I don't mean militant in terms of guns. I mean it. It's a, we will do whatever it takes to get this job done, to do this goal. So those are the three big three. All right, one more, number five. The fifth big pillar of creating a culture of ownership is an ongoing practice of developing your people.
Love it.
So here's what I've seen way too often. A principal takes over, or an assistant principal takes over this job as an administrator, and really it's just about doing the job, just getting it done. And we almost get into survival mode in times of trouble. I'm saying, no, your job is just part of your job. The other half of your job is the development of people that are under your circle of care. So I think there needs to be a bias for professional development, for in-service training, for equipping people. And I learned this early on, working 20 years for John Maxwell right out of college and then my first 20 years. It was just a bias that I have within me. So even here at Growing Leaders, Andrew, we try to have, you know, breakfast meetings and lunch and learns and book reviews. And, you know, there's just a developing of people. I don't think we're brilliant, but I think this is a
practice. But it's a priority for us.
That's right. Yeah. So you're going to get pushback on this because people go, wait, you're taking my time up to train me?
Yeah.
But think about this. I'm investing in you. I think if you get pushback at first, they're eventually in the long run going to want to be invested in. They're going to want to feel like they're getting better. And a teacher might get to be a teacher leader, and a teacher leader get to be a department head, and a department gets to be an administrator one day. So I think there's a trail that you can follow. Yeah.
If you're not developing them, then they're not going to be ready for that eventual reality.
That's right. Absolutely. So those would be the big five that I think really need to be done. Now, here's the cool news. On this podcast, we have a case study that we're going to introduce our listeners to. Leslie Smith has been a great friend for many, many years of Growing Leaders. She and Growing Leaders have worked in partnership through the past. Leslie has been the head of school at Orange Lutheran High School in Orange County, California. It's a very nice private school there. But she's also been a principal. She's been an education for many, many years. But I want our listeners to hear from her because she's a brilliant case study of building a culture of ownership at her school over the last several years.
I love it. I love it. And if you're listening right now, you're going to want to stick around because after this interview, we're actually going to tell you how you can get a free resource where you can assess how good am I doing at creating this culture of ownership. So stick around for that at the end too. All right, let's jump into this conversation with you and Leslie.
It is my privilege to talk to my friend Leslie Smith, who has been an educator for, gosh, almost three decades now. Although she still looks very young, I might add. I just want to say that, Leslie. You
still that. Thank you very much.
Yes, you betcha. So Leslie has been head of school at Orange Lutheran High School, a very wonderful school in Orange County, California, private school. Leslie, I'd love for you just to jump in. I think this would be helpful. Talk about your personal journey in education, how you got started, how you shifted gears, and where you ended up. That would be great.
All right, be happy to. Well, actually, when I was an undergraduate student at Pepperdine University, I majored in sociology, and I thought I wanted to go into social work. And so when I was doing some of my internships during my undergraduate years, I found as I was working with young people, it always led me back to education and learning and teaching. And I found I was doing a lot of tutoring, and I thought, if we're going to change the direction and the outcome for these young people, education seemed to be the path. And so I decided after I graduated from Pepperdine with a bachelor's in sociology that I needed to go back and continue studying and get my teaching credentials. So I did. I earned a master's degree in curriculum instruction K-12 and a multiple subject teaching credential, and I ventured off into the classroom. I did that for 6 years, elementary and middle school, and 1 year as a high school math teacher. And then I became an administrator. I never thought I would. In fact, I intentionally stayed with curriculum and instruction for my master's and was pulled kind of kicking and screaming, actually, as an administrator originally, and have ended up loving it. So this is my 28th year in education, and wow. I've now been at Orange Lutheran for the past 12 years.
Wonderful. Well, I have so enjoyed my time out there on campus. I've been very proud of you and also just very impressed with the people, the students, the sharp students that you have cultivated there. So my hat's off to you. You have been a great example of what a school administrator needs to look like. So Leslie,
thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you bet. Our overarching topic is really building a culture, a healthy culture on your school campus, and specifically a culture of ownership where people at every level begin to own this culture. The students own their learning, the staff and faculty own the teaching, your administrators really own the school culture as well. Talk about some things that you did over the years that you felt like that was a win, that was a helpful thing that might be translated for someone else listening.
Sure. Well, our student body is 1,370 students. And one of the things, actually, I believe it's from you, we have embraced is the idea of connect, not control.
Yeah,
and so
yeah.
One of our core values is relationships. And that's across the board with our faculty and staff and also with our students. And one of the ways that we really try to cultivate those relationships is with the idea of connect, not control.
Yeah.
And so that is sharing our stories. In fact, we often say, when my story meets your story, it becomes our story.
Yeah.
And so we really have worked hard to cultivate an environment where we do feel like a family and that we are there for one another and that we're intentionally working together with the same goal, and that is for our student success. I think one of the things, though, that's different on our campus is the way we define success. In fact, that's been a big piece of this leadership cultivation that we have focused on the last 5 years. We call it redefining the high school experience, but it's been a shift in how we have defined success. While many schools look at success by grades and test scores, mm-hmm. and the names of the colleges where students attend and the amounts of scholarship that they earn, we have redefined success to mean healthy, strong, caring people who understand that their identity is in Christ. We're a faith-based school, and who are prepared, strengthened, and prepared for a Christian life of purpose, service, and leadership in a global society. So that's our definition of success. And so everything we work toward is focused on that vision, on that goal. So the way we've really cultivated that is by being intentional and using that as a filter on how we organize our school schedule, how we interact with our students, how we even dress, what are our dress codes, what our topics of focus are. So social emotional learning has been a big piece of that. And by sharing the concern that is the epidemic of mental health, depression, anxiety across the country, by sharing that with our students and our faculty and staff, that created a common goal for us to really work toward addressing. And that's really how we came together to say, okay, we have to do something different on this campus because the outcome is very grim on schools across the campus.
So let me stop you for just a second. This is so helpful. First of all, that you redefined what success looks like and didn't just borrow or buy from everybody else. Not that anybody else is doing anything wrong, but it's just you redefined it. It wasn't just about test scores and scholarships and the elite school that they got into. But then based on that definition, you work backwards and you structured everything from dress code to relationships to schedules. So you work back from the strategy. I love that. I think that's just good leadership. So can I ask you specifically? You and I talked some time ago, maybe a couple years ago, how you began to notice some of the challenges on the campus and address them specifically with programming. And one I happen to remember was Rome. Would you talk about that challenge and what you did that seemed to be helping move the ball forward with student anxiety?
Sure, happy to. So Rome is a piece of the puzzle. So we recognize that our students are overscheduled in large part because they've been so profile-centric, so focused on building this profile to get into college. They're overscheduled trying to add all of these things to their lives. And in so doing, that's not only adversely affected their sleep patterns, but it's also just created an environment that's just high stress on all the time.
Yeah.
And so we thought we needed to be very intentional about creating a setting where our students could have some margin in their lives. So essentially, we created recess for high school students. And we came up with a different word for each day, so to speak, on how we've accomplished that. The one that is most wildly successful is on Monday. It's Rome. It stands for Revitalize on a Monday. And essentially, it's every other Monday, we have our students have an opportunity to choose, from about 60 different activities. Our teachers, they come up with all kinds of different creative ideas, whether it's taste tests with potato chips or soda, or it's s'mores on Bunsen burners, or it's coloring books, believe it or not. Yes, coloring books.
Yep.
We bring in comfort dogs. And so we have a variety of different options, up to 60. And our students can choose which ones they want to attend. They have to choose something. And if they don't, then they go in the gym and it's basically just downtime and they can hang out and socialize.
Yeah.
And so it's 20 minutes and we have it right up against lunch. And so our students look forward to this opportunity where, A, it creates some autonomy. They get to choose what they do during that time. And it also is meant to be fun and just kind of a brain break in the middle of their day. It also is meant to increase connectedness with one another, with their peers, but also with our faculty and staff in a fun, kind of unstructured way. And our students have really enjoyed it, as well as our faculty and staff. We really look forward to that time together.
I love it. I feel like you're addressing real needs that eventually, I think, probably do turn out to helping them academically because they're more balanced emotionally and socially because of that. That's so rich.
That's right.
Yeah, that's fun.
That's right.
Well, Leslie, I don't know if you were... Yeah, go ahead and share one more thought. I thought you were on the...
I just wanted to point... Yeah, it was one of the things that, you know, we've added a number of things that have been part of our initiative to redefine the high school experience. And now we're 5 years into it. And I just have to share, I'm very excited to be graduating this class of 2019, because they were the early pioneers with us. They were journeying with us as we sought to change, you know, the value and the purpose of high school from one that's just focused on preparing students for college to really preparing healthy, strong, caring people. And one of the things that's just been really fun to look at as well is the anecdotal comments that our students have made about this change. But also, we know research says that when you increase emotional intelligence, that your students perform better, earn higher grades. You know, there's all kinds of positive outcomes with that. We did a review just recently on all of our test scores, and we were very pleased to see that our ACT scores, even though that wasn't the focus, our ACT scores have increased significantly since we have made this intentional focus to be more focused on the health of and well-being of the people, of the students, rather than focused on just increasing test scores. That became the outcome whenever we shifted our focus.
That is so cool. And you and I both know that's true, but it's so fun when you see it on the faces, I'm sure, of your students.
It really is. I don't know that everyone thought that was going to be the case, but that is actually what ended up happening. So that feels pretty great as well.
Wow. Well, Leslie, before we close out, you have been so kind to participate in events that we do. And again, I've loved coming out to the campus out there in Orange County, California. But you attended our roundtable for principals last year. We had our prototype and you came out. Would you just take a few minutes and talk about your experience there and maybe what were some of the takeaways that you remember from this last year with those other principals in the room?
Tim, I always enjoy learning from you and from all of the fine folks over there at Growing Leaders. In fact, you've been very influential in my leadership philosophy and a lot of the things that we have done and implemented at Orange Lutheran High School. Specifically, the principal's roundtable last year, I very much enjoyed that. I enjoyed the smaller setting than what some of the larger leadership forums have been in the past. I really appreciated connecting with other leaders, hearing what they're doing on their campus. Of course, the speakers are always amazing and provide great insight and really are idea generators for me. Every single time I've ever been to any of your events, I come back refreshed, excited, and full of new ideas to implement on our campus. In fact, I don't know how I would start a school year without being at one of your events to take some of those ideas and add them to our retreats and our in-service training opportunities. So it's just a really great opportunity. I encourage anyone and everyone who has the opportunity to come in teams and glean some new insights to take back on campus.
Leslie, you're very kind. I feel the same way about you. Whenever I'm with you, I feel like I pick up ideas. You're a practitioner in the trenches week in and week out. I remember you added value just every time you spoke up. So thanks for adding to the conversation always along the way. Leslie, thanks.
My pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for just taking a few minutes and talking. This has been rich, and we're going to have to do this again.
Thank you so much, Tim. I look forward to talking to you soon.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Tim and Leslie, for that conversation. I think we're gaining so much. And thank you, Tim, for those five insights as well. If you're listening to this right now and thinking, I want to build this kind of culture, I've got two things I want to tell you about. The first one is that we have an event upcoming called the Roundtable for Principals. We do this every year, and we invite administrators, school administrators, middle and high school administrators to come to our event here June 20th and 21st in Atlanta. And we're going to be talking about this subject of how to build an incredible culture of leadership on your campus for everybody on your campus. We would love for you to be there. You can find out more information about that event on our website, growingleaders.com. Click on events and you'll see the Roundtable for Principals there. I also want to tell you about a free resource we're launching today as a part of this podcast. We want you to be able to evaluate your school culture, and that's exactly what the document is called. So there's if you go to our website, growingleaders.com, we have a tab called free. And if you click there, you're going to find there's a brand new assessment tool called Evaluate Your School Culture, where you will be able to answer a couple questions, give yourself a score on each of these five categories of school ownership, and you'll be able to see where do I have the most to grow, how well am I doing, and that'll be a great way to tell how much room do I have left to grow in this area, and maybe that'll make you think about, you know what, I need to read some books, come to an event like the Roundtable for Principals, whatever works for you, that's awesome, but that's a tool that we just want you to utilize to be able to learn more about how well you're doing at building a school culture, a school culture of ownership on your campus. Thank you so much for listening. As always, if you'll rate this podcast, give us 5 stars. That helps us out a whole lot. Follow us on social media. We love connecting with you there. Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We'll meet you there at Growing Leaders and at Tim Elmore. And as always, if you have ideas for this podcast, other people you want us to interview, topics you want us to cover, shoot us an email, podcast@growingleaders.com. We love getting those, love hearing from you. Thank you so much for joining us on this podcast. Go check out the Roundtable for Principals and that brand new free resource, Evaluating Your School Culture, and utilize those. Thank you so much. We'll see you next time.